Chapter 146. If you are not shocked, are you not surprised, man? ... demanded the physician, warmly. The chief butler, erect and calm, replied in these memorable words. Sir, Mr. Myrtle never was a gentleman, and no ungentlemanly act on Mr. Myrtle's part would surprise me. Is there anybody else I can send to you, or any other directions I can give before I leave, respecting what you would wish to be done? ... When physician, after discharging himself of his trust upstairs, rejoined Barr in the street, he said no more of his interview with Mrs. Myrtle than that he had not yet told her all, but that what he had told her she had borne pretty well. Barr had devoted his leisure in the street to the construction of a most ingenious man trap for catching the whole of his jury at a blow. Having got that matter settled in his mind, it was lucid on the late catastrophe, and they walked home slowly, discussing it in every bearing. Before parting at the physician's door, they both looked up at the sunny morning sky, into which the smoke of a few early fires, and the breath and voices of a few early stirs were peacefully rising, and then looked round upon the immense city, and said, if all those hundreds and thousands of beggared people who were yet asleep could only know, as they too spoke, the ruin that impended over them, what a fearful cry against one miserable soul would go up to heaven. The report that the great man was dead got about with astonishing rapidity. At first, he was dead of all the diseases that ever were known, and of several brand new maladies invented with the speed of light to meet the demand of the occasion. He had concealed a dropsy from infancy. He had inherited a large estate of water on the chest from his grandfather. He had had an operation performed upon him every morning of his life for 18 years. He had been subject to the explosion of important veins in his body after the manner of fireworks. He had had something the matter with his lungs. He had had something the matter with his heart. He had had something the matter with his brain. 500 people who sat down to breakfast entirely uninformed on the whole subject, believed before they had done breakfast, that they privately and personally knew physician, to have said to Mr. Myrtle, you must expect to go out, someday, like the snuff of a candle, ... and that they knew Mr. Myrtle, to have said to physician, a man can die but once, ... by about 11 o'clock in the forenoon. Something the matter with the brain became the favorite theory against the field, and by 12 the something had been distinctly ascertained to be pressure. ... Pressure was so entirely satisfactory to the public mind, and seemed to make everybody so comfortable, that it might have lasted all day but for Barr's having taken the real state of the case into court at 9:30. This led to its beginning to be currently whispered all over London by about 1, that Mr. Myrtle had killed himself. Pressure, however, so far from being overthrown by the discovery, became a greater favorite than ever. There was a general moralizing upon pressure in every street. All the people who had tried to make money and had not been able to do it said, there you were. You no sooner began to devote yourself to the pursuit of wealth than you got pressure. The idle people improved the occasion in a similar manner. See, said they, what you brought yourself to by work, work, work. You persisted in working, you overdid it. Pressure came on, and you were done for. This consideration was very potent in many quarters, but nowhere more so than among the young clerks and partners who had never been in the slightest danger of overdoing it. These, one and all, declared, quite piously, that they hoped they would never forget the warning, as long as they lived, and that their conduct might be so regulated, as to keep off pressure, and preserve them, a comfort to their friends, for many years. But, at about the time of high change, pressure began to wane, and appalling whispers to circulate, east, west, north, and south. At first they were faint, and went no further than a doubt whether Mr. Myrtle's wealth would be found to be as vast as had been supposed, whether there might not be a temporary difficulty in realizing it, whether there might not even be a temporary suspension, say a month or so, on the part of the wonderful bank. As the whispers became louder, which they did from that time every minute, they became more threatening. He had sprung from nothing, by no natural growth or process that anyone could account for. He had been, after all, a low, ignorant fellow. He had been a down-looking man, and no one had ever been able to catch his eye. He had been taken up by all sorts of people in quite an unaccountable manner. He had never had any money of his own. His ventures had been utterly reckless, and his expenditure had been most enormous. In steady progression, as the day declined, the talk rose in sound and purpose. He had left a letter at the baths addressed to his physician had got the letter, and the letter would be produced at the inquest on the morrow, and it would fall like a thunderbolt upon the multitude he had deluded. Numbers of men in every profession and trade would be blighted by his insolvency. Old people who had been in easy circumstances all their lives would have no place of repentance for their trust in him but the workhouse. Legions of women and children would have their whole future desolated by the hand of this mighty scoundrel. Every partaker of his magnificent feasts would be seen to have been a sharer in the plunder of innumerable homes. Every servile worshipper of riches who had helped to set him on his pedestal would have done better to worship the devil point blank. So, the talk, lashed louder and higher by confirmation on confirmation, and by edition after edition of the evening papers, swelled into such a roar when night came, as might have brought one to believe that a solitary watcher on the gallery above the dome of St. Paul's would have perceived the night air to be laden with a heavy muttering of the name of Myrtle, coupled with every form of execration. For by that time it was known that the late Mr. Myrtle's complaint had been simply forgery and robbery. He, the uncouth object of such widespread adulation, the sitter at great men's feasts, the roc's egg of great ladies' assemblies, the subduer of exclusiveness, the leveler of pride, the patron of patrons, the bargain driver with a minister for lordships of the circumlocution office, the recipient of more acknowledgement within some 10 or 15 years, at most, than had been bestowed in England upon all peaceful public benefactors, and upon all the leaders of all the arts and sciences, with all their works to testify for them, during 2 centuries at least he, the shining wonder, the new constellation, to be followed by the wise men bringing gifts, until it stopped over a certain carrion at the bottom of a bath, and disappeared was simply the greatest forger and the greatest thief that ever cheated the gallows. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.